Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Was your experience in Austin, right? You were in Austin, Big Tex, down there. You're there for a wedding. How? When's the last time you were in Texas?
This would have been 2021.
Okay.
Nah, maybe. No, 2019.
Okay, so pre-pan.
Before the pandemic.
Okay, or plandemic, as some of us are calling it.
So, man, you're going to love this. So, I was going to a bachelor party in Columbia.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
Last minute. So one, I had to fly Spirit.
Oh no.
Two, I had
Columbia?
Yes. Not one, but two layovers. I had to go Los Angeles to Austin.
Yeah.
Austin to Miami. Miami to Florida, to Columbia.
Wow.
So this is 2019. Obviously, I'm a lot broker than I am now at the time. And a lot more, it was just last minute. And I had a 4 or 5 hour layover in Austin. And even in 2019, it was like, oh my God, the food in Austin. Austin. So I got some recommendations. I went out. I got some Mexican, then I went to a sports bar, then I went back to the airport or whatever. So that's the only time. I might have had another layover in Dallas once.
But you never been to Ben.
Yeah, that
like,
was the first time I had actually touched down, foot on the soil of the great state of Texas.
Foot on the soil, 10-gallon hat on the dome, like just you dressed the part. You played the part.
No, that time I was probably wearing some sweats or some whatever, some Adidas soccer pants or whatever.
Yeah.
This time though, I got there on Thursday and would be there till Sunday. And so I was ready. I was ready for Austin, Texas. And
you line dance?
No line dancing. So okay. Shouts to David and Ani Grisham. Congratulations to them on their wedding. I actually met David Grisham, because he used to work with Michael Brooks. Okay. Rest in peace, Michael Brooks. That's how I met Dave, and that's how we got locked in. But they did a good job of having activities for every single day, right? So they were like, if you got here on Thursday, we have we're going to this honky-tonk where there will be dance lessons provided.
Now, Waz, when you hear the phrase honky-tonk.
I'm sorry. Waz saying honky-tonk does sound like a slur for some reason. Like, that's just...
I'm imagining something completely different than what it is.
No. It was a legitimate honky-tonk. Like, they're playing...
doesn't sound any better.
They're playing music that you two-step to. And so the class started at 7. Mm-hmm. And for an hour, we learned the fundamentals because the Texas two-step is not a dance. It's a series of dances. And we learned some of the fundamentals of the Texas two-step for an hour.
Who says and white so people by, don't have culture? You know,
come on now. Yeah. Come on now. They come do on. In Texas. And our instructor was a white dude who I will say could dance his fucking ass off. And you know the confidence of a white dude who knows he knows how to dance. Mm-hmm. You on a level.
Look, no offense to any other race, but there are white men who can dance, there's no other race. There's no other situation that is as confident as that.
Too much power.
It's insane. Supremely
my confident dude out there is the 60-year-old geezers. With the belt buckles who go to the honky tonks, and they are having the time of their lives, and they're just they have a different partner every song, and they're wheeling it around the dance floor, and these guys, you know, they look the part, they're acting the part, and that is a level of confidence that I will never have.
So the one we went to, I guess it's because it's the Tuesday and it's the class. It was like very diverse mm-hmm. in terms of age, in terms of men and women, in terms of there were some black people, some white people, some Asian people, some obviously white people. It was a really cool experience. And I think the genius of the class was that he made you change partners. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I mm-hmm. was there with my lady, but like everybody, like, I danced with like at least 7 different people that day. And you get to, you know, you make small talk, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. And that picture that you saw of me and Grishkum, mm-hmm. just full disclosure, that was not my hat. That was my lady's hat. But because Grishkum was in full Texas man regalia, I decided to join him. And my lady, she ain't doing nothing but culturally appropriate. And you know the Beyonce the Beyonce country shit.
These black women.
Yeah, all these bougie black women cosplaying cowboys now. It's ridiculous. Come on now. Okay. Yeah, they ain't give a fuck about Dolly Parton before. All of a sudden, it's country this and country that.
Yeah, there was even like in the 90s, it was like fuck Dolly Parton. Whitney did it better. You know, that kind of vibe going.
No, now they're reversing course.
They're trying to take the country.
Take it back to Dolly, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, Austin was dope. Incredible food. Shouts to Le Barbecue, the one barbecue mm-hmm. spot I did go to. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, only a 20-minute wait, but the grub was magnificent.
Where would you put Texas barbecue, Austin barbecue, compared to other barbecues you've had?
The only other barbecue I've had was in Charleston. I forget the name of the spot, but it was damn good.
Yeah.
And I would say they were freaking comparable, just excellent. Okay. Absolutely excellent. No notes.
Yeah, Franklin Barbecue is the number one trendy spot.
And I think these guys are off the Franklin coaching tree.
Yeah, well, it's like if you got tired of the Franklin line, mm-hmm. you bounce to the barbecue.
Yeah.
And I waited, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours for my food I was out there.
Jesus Christ.
Because I had had the unfortunate privilege of already knowing how good Franklin's was. Because there was one time when I went there and there was no line somehow. And so I was like, well, I have to stick it out. And then, you know, 5 hours of building hunger and drinking MGDs in line and making friends with everybody will make it taste a lot better. So
we got there. The line was reasonable. And the cool thing is when you get up there, they're slicing and portioning your shit as you order. Mm-hmm. And so there's no additional wait time after you pay for your shit. So that was nice.
How likely are you to go back there on just a non-wedding trip, a non-work trip?
I mean, I could see myself putting together a guy's trip or a leg of a guy's trip.
Okay.
You feel me? If we were like, yo, we're going to do a guy's week and we're not going to go abroad. I could see myself being like, yo, let's do 2 days in Austin. I could see myself
a guy's doing week.
Guys week.
Look, we had Waz week for a long time. You know, he's graduated from that.
Waz week is retired.
A weekend? Come on, that's for pedestrians.
It just feels like, especially for me and my group of friends, to dedicate one trip solely to Austin would just feel like, you know, you're being inefficient in terms of the things that you would like to get done in that weekend.
I don't remember. I don't know if we can actually say this, but I'll say it anyway. Remember when we were going to do South by Southwest and then it was like, yeah, well, only two of you guys get in. And we go like, well, we need the whole crew to do the show. That's not going to. You remember that? That was a long time ago.
Vaguely. I remember.
I don't think it was a Sussman thing.
It wasn't maybe a Sussman special.
It was Sussman adjacent. I think
there was something legitimate about the South by.
Yeah,
South.
No, like we had a contact at South by Southwest.
It wasn't South by South by Southwest.
No, there was something legitimate about the actual talks. That South by Southwest wasn't legitimate. It's just like in terms of us actually going there and being on some podcast panel thing. But yeah, Austin was dope, man. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm trying to think of a scenario where I would go on my own, but yeah, it'd have to be for maybe somebody's bachelor where they were like, oh, we'll do a couple of days in Austin and we'll bounce to such and such or something like that. But yeah, it was fun. We went to the University of Texas, the museum there. Because, you know, as you know, when you're with a woman, like, just chilling during the day is just not.
No.
You gotta have
plans, gotta have activities.
You need to be on the fucking move. This was the Friday we went to that museum. There was a Friday activity, wedding related. So to me, I'm just like, all right, I'm doing a thing on that. I'm doing the wedding. We went off to some barn, like, 17 miles outside of the city, outside of downtown, on the Friday. There was goats and shit there. It was like actually really beautiful. And they had a dope beer garden and, you know, some good like wood fire pizza, shit like that. But yeah, we had to go to the museum.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. PrizePicks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. PrizePicks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less, It's that easy. Welcome to the OG Pod Zazni Edition here on Count the Dings. I'm Zach Harper. That's Big Tex, aka Big Waz. That's Anthony Mays.
Yeehaw!
Oh, no! Man, he loves that cowboy emoji, man. The cowboy emoji is back. Big it's Howdy back, himself.
Big Howdy.
the most dominant team in the NBA. The most dominant team of the last 10, 15, 20 years. They lost. They lost to the Cavs. They lost to Dean Wade. It could only be Dean Wade. Dean Wade lit him up for 20. Cavs legend Dean Wade. Yeah. Lit him up for 20 in the fourth. 5 threes. The game-winning putback. We had a little controversy with the call, but I liked that they reversed the call because it was a bad call in the first place. This Celtics team is obviously so good, and they are the favorites in the East, and deservedly so. Best offense in NBA history, blah, blah, blah. All the superlatives you need. Jason Tatum in the clutch. This is per Tom the Finder. A young man named Tom Haberstroh found this. He's bad when it comes to the clutch this year. He's of the top five MVP candidates. Shea is the best in the clutch. Jokic is up there. Giannis is up there. Luka's obviously up there. And then way down there, way, 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 way down at 38% effective field goal percentage is Jason Tatum. Now, Waz, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's just this year, you know? Oh, the tater brings it when it's clutch time. The tater brings it. And not really. This is very emblematic of what he has done the last 3 years. He's just not a great clutch player. The Mamba mentality, the training with Kobe has been blamed for this a lot. He does like this hero ball stuff, but I always kind of look at this stuff as it's a little random, especially when the team data is very random. Like you'll get a team that's like plus 18 per 100 possessions in the clutch, and they're 9-9 in clutch games, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just like this weird thing. But do you when it's a crunch time situation, do you believe in Jason Tatum as the guy?
I don't think Jason Tatum in the crunch time. I don't think the Boston Celtics are served by having him go one-on-one doing a Kobe impression in the clutch. I just don't think that's the best uses of his talent. There's enough talent around it that they should be able to be generating better things for themselves than this guy dribble, dribble, dribble. They say he took 19 dribbles on that last possession.
Against Darius Garland.
It's just that's not good offense. And yeah. I think the reason why Tatum has such a low percentage, it's not that he's so much worse of a clutch player. He's taking way worse shots, man. Yeah. Like, it's just what, like, you see it last night. Like, he's taking difficult shots. And sometimes there's, you know, the 50 points he dropped against Philly last year where it's working and the jumper's working and it looks great. But a lot of times it's the rest of that series, man. A lot of times it's the 22 finals. A lot of times it's just...
Oh, Waz. He hurt his ankle in the finals. Okay, that's, we got to excuse him. He's fine.
He was terrible in the finals, guys. Ankle or not, he was terrible. It's just, he's not the kind of player. And I would say, and even Giannis to an extent, I don't think he's this either, where just giving him the ball, you know, positive outcomes are going to come out of it the way I would say Shea is carrying it this year.
Yeah, Shea. I mean, Shea's ridiculous.
Luka and obviously Jokic. Even when they're not taking the shot, they're diagnosing the defense in such a way. They're like, okay, here's the remedy for what ails my offense right now in this situation. Those guys are like, whether they're taking the shot or not, if they're dictating the terms of that possession, I know I'm getting something wonderful out of it. You know, Jokic is like, it's a cliche at this point, but it's like, as soon as you send that freaking double, He's letting that thing fly. Yeah. You know, whether it's to an incredible shooter or it's a lob to Aaron Gordon, Luka, obviously, you know, like, his freaking one-handed skip passes are crazy. Yeah.
He takes some bad shots, too. He's just
he's
better at making them.
Yes, that's fair. But he's also, again, when the help does come,
yeah, he'll move it
way better at moving it. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is. It's like you start feeling bad for constantly pointing out this guy's not in the five best players in the NBA, but that's his. Those are the peers.
Shouldn't
those
he be, though?
Peers.
Like the best team in the league by far in terms of numbers, record, all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. His numbers are good. Like he's not a part of this. I feel like he's not a part of this like stat inflation, heliocentric stat inflation, like
and shout thing, right? For that.
And I don't think it's weird. Like I think Luka falls into that. Obviously, I think Giannis falls into that a little bit. I wouldn't put that on Shea. I feel like they've got a good balance of stuff.
Shea gets off of it so quickly.
Yeah.
A lot of times
because they also like they use Jalen Williams a lot in clutch situations. And he's so good at it. And then Jokic, it's a different conversation for Jokic than for everybody else. But Tatum, like in terms of talent, size, throwing the defense, things he can do, like he should be right there.
Mamba mentality, like he should be right there. He's got it all, y'all.
What a dismissive couple of words right there.
I don't know. It's one of those things because me as somebody who's been traditionally a Tatum skeptic, to be honest with you, he's a lot better right now than I ever anticipated he would be. The guy he's become on defense is legitimate. Mm-hmm. I will never forget the straitjacket he put on KD in that Brooklyn series in 2022. Oof. He locked that motherfucker up. Mm-hmm. You know, like... He's improved his playmaking. Obviously, the scoring is like he is so good. You know, it's just the way that Jokic, as one example, makes Jamal Murray better. Obviously, Murray being allowed to work off of the advantages that Jokic creates makes Murray a better player. Mm-hmm. He's lifting him up. Aaron Gordon lifted up. When the jump shots that he does take are practice, wide open jump shots.
Yeah.
When he's not finding them as a cutter or the lob threat. You know, Luka definitely making guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. and some Kleber, of these other guys.
Josh Green, Jaden Hardy. Yeah,
these guys, they'd be hard pressed to be getting big minutes somewhere else, right? And I think there's going to come a point with the Bucks where Dame and Giannis are actually making each other better because their games actually complement each other. Yeah. Giannis has this crazy role threat, Dame with his gravity, forcing defenses to spread out and allowing Giannis to roll downhill, be his best self against a compromised defense. Like, the problem for the Celtics to me is that their players don't do that for one another, except for in one way, and that's the five-out nature of it creates these great lanes that nobody's expert at using.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But, you don't think he should be up there.
They're the runaway favorite for the championship.
You know where I'm in the East.
I brought this up to you guys because Thursday night, Nuggets Celtics finals preview, right? Of course, they both lost Tuesday night.
Yeah.
But
is it a finals
preview? That's just how it goes. Is it a finals preview? I'm sure we can talk about Miami if you want, Zach. They still have to beat that monstrosity, that demon, but.
Have to beat what?
No, the Boston Celtics would have to beat them.
The Celtics will have to overcome the Heat.
Got you.
The Heat are the Eastern Conference Championships. Yeah. We don't mention it, but like...
Look, no one wants to accept them outside of South Florida. Like, nobody
does. And Mike Scherr.
And Mike Scherr.
still has Mike nightmares sure, on the regular yeah, about Jimmy yeah, Butler.
He's doing as a reverse jinx. That doesn't like that's dishonest. Like he's lying. He's not.
The reverse he jinx doesn't, that jinxed himself last
he,
year.
Yeah, he doesn't actually believe that.
But isn't this an all-in season for the Celtics with the Holiday and Porzingis acquisitions
of course,
and
of course,
Horford's like, age?
Look, I started saying this, and you can take it for whatever you want. There's absolutely zero reason outside of injuries that the Celtics should not make the finals.
Yeah. Right.
Zero reason. There's no excuse anymore. Unless Tatum gets hurt or Jaylen Brown gets hurt or whatever, like Porzingis gets hurt, then you can start like kind of, you know, playing the Doc Rivers game of like, you know, when we're healthy.
The Bucks handed them a head start on a silver platter I was talking to somebody about the Bucks yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, hold on, no. KOC, I just did a segment of my YouTube show with, said that Adrian Griffin is the worst hire since Jim Boylan.
I don't know if that's fair.
Fantastic. Right. Those are two great
so names. I was like, damn, like he narrowed down every single NBA hire. I was like, we haven't had one this obviously horrible since Jim Boylan. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I was just talking about the nature of the business of the NBA where Adrian Griffin was probably the worst coach in the NBA this year. And he was handed the keys to probably a top two talented roster, top four, whatever. Like, just an insanely good team, talented
top heavy.
Team.
They're top heavy.
Okay, but they're top heavy talent.
Sure.
Okay.
They were second when he got fired.
That's what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. Like, and I was like, man, the worst coach in the NBA was handed that. That's a crazy business that you could fall into that situation. And the person I was talking to said, he's not the worst coach in the NBA this year. Mm-mm. He's the worst coach in the history of the NBA.
Hold on, that's not good.
So KLC said, since Jim Boylan, this guy said in the history of the NBA.
All right, hold on. As someone who's watched a lot of Randy Whitman coaching, I can tell you that's not true. All right?
Is he better than Kirk Rambis?
No. Yes. No, Kirk Rambis was.
He was running the triangle.
With Johnny Flynn. I mean, you see Johnny Phillips is doing in Portland?
Start the offense from the mid post, Johnny Flynn.
You know who's been a worse coach this year? Monty Williams. No one wants to talk about because, we all love Monty Williams. Yo, he's a bad fucking coach.
It's the media's fault.
Atrocious coach. They're making him play all bench lineups?
Yep.
Yeah.
They had to cut Killian Hayes because he wouldn't stop playing them. And you wouldn't tell me Adrian Griffin's worse? Heads,
you know?
They had to trade Isaiah Livers away and cut Killian Hayes because he wouldn't stop playing those guys.
Yeah.
Well, if you bring money into the equation, it's absolutely Monty.
Oh my God. What a grift.
We got sidetracked, but yes, the Bucks Bucks management handed Boston that. So the Bucks basically
they also handed them Drew Holiday.
Half a season. Playoff Drew Holiday, guys.
No,
can we talk about it?
Don't do that to champion Drew Holiday.
Okay.
He's a champ.
He had some nice defensive possessions in the playoffs that year.
He can't be their fifth best player.
He doesn't even have to be that, right? He could be sixth, seventh.
Let me tell you something.
That's Sam Hauser.
All of those, when somebody described it as, Marcus Smart used to end up with grenades at the end of possessions. Mm-hmm. Drew Holiday's going to end up with some grenades at the end of possessions, guys. Sure. And it's going to be nasty.
Can he beat the Heat with grenades?
It's going to be nasty. Drew Holiday in the playoffs, it's not even just that he'll brick shots off the side of the backboard. He makes bad decisions actively. Yeah.
But I say he makes up for it defensively in a way Marcus Smart couldn't do.
Marcus Smart, bruh.
If he didn't get you on a flop.
Fraudulent defensive player of the year situation. They need to do a 30 for 30 on that.
Let's move on to Alperen Şengün versus Victor Wembanyama. I watched an entire game last night because I am sick watching Wemby. I cannot get enough. I'm addicted to watching Wemby and that horrible Spurs team.
Also, you give him a day of the week?
Of course. I've been giving him a day of the week since last season.
Yeah.
It's been Wednesday, every Wednesday. He was awful last night. And he was awful physically from the start. Like, he was slow. He wasn't, like, he had that one highlight in the first, like, minute of the game where he blocked a shot and then went down and hit a three. After that, he was he was slow. He wasn't getting back. He wasn't moving. He wasn't rotating. He was real weak physically. I think he was tired. And Şengün absolutely destroyed him and took advantage of that because he went for 45 points on 19 of 32 from the field, 16 boards, 5 steals. There were times where Wemby was just handing him the ball. Like, Wemby was just giving him the ball. Like, he had 6 turnovers in that game. He was just giving him the ball. This is what Şengün said of Wemby. He's so tall, but he's not that strong yet. I was going at his chest and putting him under the rim. Which is true. He was doing that. I think Wemby still blocked him like 4 or 5 times, but he did get it back and just went through his chest.
He's a full foot taller than this guy. Come on. He shouldn't be blocking this dude. I'm just tickled by Şengün.
This is where we are. Oh, well, he's tall, so he's got to block shots. You know,
a guy who shoots 32 times against him, if he's a foot taller, he should block a few of those shots. No,
Bol's fucking tall. He didn't block any shots.
I'm just saying, when somebody takes 32 shots, it should stand to reason that you would block a few of them. Mm-hmm. No, is that crazy?
Oh, it's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, I don't remember that when Wemby went for 21, 12, 3, and 3 in a win against the Rockets earlier in the season. I don't know. I don't remember him being too weak that game.
Did Şengün play?
Yeah.
Şengün admitted that he got the better of him in that previous matchup, but I love this mentality. I also think that some people are maybe taking this a bit too far. Like, say, for instance, Trey Kirby here saying new Hakeem versus David Robinson just dropped.
That's pretty good, though. I don't know. I like that.
That's fantastic.
It's a good tweet.
It's a great tweet. That's a great tweet. Now, Shango's a monster, man. Like, he's so good. Yeah.
I wanted to hate him because the hipsters was doing too much with him.
Oh, Şengün?
Yeah. But it took me going to one Rockets game. I don't even think it was last year. It might have been the year before that, where literally nobody else knew anything about playing NBA basketball except for him. Like, it was like watching sixth graders, preschoolers play, and Shengun's literally like, no, you go there. Okay, now you go this way. And I'm like, wow, okay, this guy deserves some love and some credit because he is playing basketball with the most boneheaded group of players I've ever seen in my life.
I would advise against him going the Dylan Brooks route. The
basket.
He's just tall, you know. I would advise going against that. But no, it's funny, like, I was having this in a group chat last night of how long until he's all NBA. And I was like, I actually think it's going to be a long time because there's only 3 center spots for it, right? Like, you've got, like, Jokic is going to take one of those every single time. There are still years where Gobert Embiid when he's healthy, Bam, Sabonis, like, there's, you know, Wemby now, Chet now, or Chet will probably get in the forward.
Oh, you're talking about when Şengün going to get all NBA.
Yes.
He's not going to get all NBA.
But he's good enough to, like, he will be good enough to, but I don't know. I think he's going to get squeezed out. Like, they're going to have to win like 55 games for him to, I think, break through. Yeah,
55 games. Cause Sabonis made a third team, didn't he?
Yes.
Last year.
Yeah.
So yeah. So he can make one.
Yeah. The third team spot is available.
That's the Mendoza line for.
Yeah. But that, stars. But again,
not if Wemby takes it.
Wemby's like, this is the last year Wemby doesn't make it, going, right?
For first team, so yeah, that's tough.
Oh, Wemby over Jokic. You heard it here first.
He's going for it. I'm not saying he's gonna get it. Play it back, Maze. What did I say? I said he's going for it.
Wemby is the only rookie in NBA history to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks in a game. Only rookie in NBA history.
Like, he's averaging 20 points this season?
Yeah. He's at like 20.7 or something like that.
Mm.
So can I ask a question about the
steroids era of scoring, but still very impressive because his offense was supposed to lag way behind his defense. So yeah,
and also he's on a minutes restriction still.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get 30 minutes in a game. You know, like, that's how crazy his numbers are.
In terms of adding strength, though, this is something that he and Chet are both going to have to contend with as their bodies develop because they're massive string beans out there. But are you guys worried about that potentially impacting his health or anything like that?
You don't add bulk, you add strength. And there's a difference. KG did that. KG got obviously a little more filled out as he went from high school to the pros, but he never got stronger. Big. He just got stronger, and that's all you
need to get big. I say AD hasn't gotten big either, and he used to be a skinny guy who would look like his chest was being caved in. So,
I was going to point to was AD when he put on some weight. It seemed to negatively impact his injury and his ability to stay healthy.
But he might have always been that way, right? Like, I think. If you look at Giannis, right? Giannis, another guy, super skinny.
Yeah.
I think you're with me on this one. He got huge.
He got terrified
at a certain point. Yeah. He got
It was ridiculous. Huge.
If that happens to Webby, I think we all need to give up everything else in our lives.
I think the league is fucked anyway, whether he gets strong or not. Like, like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's
he's killing it.
That dog shit team is 24th in defense. If you took the defensive rating when he's on the floor, they'd be like 7th.
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
They don't have, they barely have NBA guys on that team.
Yeah, I think Vassell's the Keldon good.
Johnson and Devin Vassell.
Well, Keldon's a gold medal winner, so let's not forget that. He won a gold medal.
he won the gold medal with Jeff Van Gundy in them?
No, with Pop. How do you think he got on the team? Okay. He got bullied in there. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I like Trey Jones. I'm less annoyed at Jeremy Sochan than I was for the first 4 months of the season, but I still.
You mean now that he's not doing a John Stockton impersonation?
Yes. Yes.
Or the most generational talent the league has seen in 25 years?
Then, like, what if we got a power forward who can barely dribble a basketball and shoots a free throw as one handed? What if we made him the point guard for a minute? Pop is just not trying this year. But yeah, Sengun, really good. Wemby, really good. This is a fun little story here.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons going through more back issues.
Simmons watch has been inactive for a couple weeks. Simmons here. Watch,
we're back, baby. So this is according to his agent, Bernie Lee. Great agent. Jimmy Butler's agent, I think PJ Tucker's agent as well. Like, Bernie Lee established, like, good agent. He had this comment, courtesy of SNY.TV.
Ian Begley. Quote,
"We continue to try and find non-surgical options to allow Ben to move forward on a permanent basis, and that is where this is my responsibility, and I'm the one to blame." Bernie Lee is taking responsibility for Ben Simmons' back being messed up. Now, I think there's complications here because forever, people have been accusing Ben Simmons of, like, maybe your back's not that bad. You just don't want to play basketball and you got, you know, this mental health thing, right? Obviously, he has back issues. I think that's been wildly unfair. He's got nerve issues in his back. He doesn't move as well as he used to when he's on the court. Like, you know, Bernie also said, quote, "Come the offseason, we're going to implement some processes and outside input that'll allow him to finally move forward from this ongoing issue and resume his career at the levels he's established prior to being injured." Do you believe that, one, it is Bernie's fault, and two, Ben will be back?
Like a Julia Roberts movie.
Zach, this man is in the NBA.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He has access to literally the best healthcare, physical care in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's 25 years old.
Yep, young guy.
He could rent a big boy car now. Mm-hmm. So he's beyond the age of drinking. He can go to Hertz and get a whip, for real.
Mm-hmm.
This is utter bullshit.
What?
Okay.
No.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
This is pure bullshit. First of all, the man got dropped by Clutch. Do you know what you have to do, how unserious you have to be for an agent to drop you?
Yeah, I remember Nerlens Noel.
Like, he got dropped by his agency because of how unserious he is. So now we're his agent is why he's not getting the proper treatment.
It's Paul.
Why he hasn't seen the proper specialist?
Mm-hmm.
Why he can't be on the court?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barney didn't set any of that up, but they're going to do it this summer.
I've been staring at this statement, trying to parse the language of what's
incredible.
Non-surgical options. So I'm imagining that Ben has essentially laid down the law. I'm not going to a surgeon. I'm not getting back surgery. And I get it. The back is
no chance.
The back is a very tough part of the body to operate on and come back to full strength.
If he has back surgery, he's officially done.
Yeah.
He'll never come back.
So he says to Birdie, I want you to find all the most experimental back people in the world.
Can I tell you? So I've been dealing with back issues for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, this is your sweet spot.
Bad sciatic issues, nerve issues, whatever. You're going to laugh at what the best treatment has been. It is a chiropractor who doesn't do adjustments. He does like pinpoint massage stuff. And he literally said this to me, and it worked. It worked. He said, you need to go for 5 15-minute walks a day, and it'll clear up.
Call Bernie.
It's literally what worked. Mobility and motion and everything, and gets the blood flowing in the right way and all that stuff. Don't heat it, don't ice, all that stuff. Now, granted, I'm not operating at an NBA level physically, obviously, but it makes me wonder, is he not walking? Is he not active? And I'm not talking about like running and stuff. Like, I'm talking about just like walking. Just enough walking throughout the day. Like, he's a professional athlete. Like, I'm assuming he's working out. Like, he still looks like he's in great shape physically.
This is one of
y'all know Ben Simmons bought a crib in LA that don't got a hoop in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a repeat offender on Simmons' watch. Is Waz dropping that fact, which I love. Another Bernie Lee quote. In the year his I have agent, worked with
it's
Ben.
It's his agent's fault that he's not playing.
Ben has taken less than 7 days off. In my almost 20 years of doing this, it isn't something I've seen. So the thought that he is doing everything asked of him but not getting the results is something that in no way, shape, or form sits right with me. And I am committed to finding him the right people and the right answers, and we will.
Bernie, I got a great back guy here in LA. You let us know. I'll put you in touch with him.
Some processes and outside input, man.
What company does this Bernie guy work for?
I think it's his own agency, right?
So he's not CAA. He's not Wasserman.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
He's not down with Bartlestein. He's not down with any of the big guys.
Let's see where he came from.
He's not Clutch.
I think he is Clutch. He's a Thread Sports Management. And I think he was previously associated with Clutch.
Yeah.
Mm. So he went rogue.
Well, I don't know about rogue. I don't know if that's the phrase that I would use.
Why didn't he go rogue? So Ben left and he left. It was a Jerry Maguire moment.
Why is it when someone decides to bet on themselves, we go, oh, we're betting on himself. Look at that. But when someone leaves Clutch, they go rogue. I don't know about that, Waz. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
First of all, both of y'all know hashtag and Clutch we trust. That's one. That's one. Everybody knows that. It's just interesting that it would be a Jerry Maguire moment. And, you know, Sam, what's his name?
Bernie Lee.
Shouts to Sam Lee. He's the Man City writer for The Athletic.
Yeah, shouts to him.
Yeah, I was hoping he would come up. Yeah,
shouts to all the leads.
Bernie Lee, he's like taking his stapler and his post-it notes with him as Simmons is walking out of clutch, and he's like, "Who's coming with me?"
He had me at hell no.
He represents Ben Simmons, Justin Holiday, Chris Dunn, Jimmy Butler.
Okay, he got a stay pool.
And then a bunch of dudes who I assume are overseas or in the G League.
Okay, at least he's got some real clients, though, yeah. And he's not just ruining Ben Simmons' career. But,
I mean, you know, he's been thriving.
But he said it's his fault.
He did.
And I kind of respect it. I respect it.
I respect the fuck out of it.
It's agent shit eating on a level that is rarely seen, bro.
No, you know what? I'm putting Waz on trial here. You know what? He doesn't like it. You know why Waz is upset with this? Because all of a sudden he's not the biggest pander in the world. Okay.
Yeah. Get this guy out of here. This is my block.
Bruh. This is a pander like that I would have never even dreamed of.
That's why you feel threatened right now. It is next level pandering.
Like the agent is responsible for the medical advice?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think players nowadays, and I've been more aware, I don't know if this is when it goes back to, but I've been more aware of it since Danilo Gallinari called out the Nuggets, right? Years ago, being like, yo, they fucked up my knee rehab, all this stuff, right? That since then I've been more aware of like, oh yeah, guys are going for, you know, other opinions. Like Kawhi's obviously a very famous example of going outside the team. I think it's smart for players to not trust the team doctors fully. I think it's smart for them to go out and like, especially like you look at what's happened in Boston with Isaiah Thomas, all the shit, right? Like I do think it's smart to do that. At the same time, this, I don't know.
Zach, it's your body. Shouldn't you want to feel better? What are we talking about?
How does
Ben Simmons not want to get to the bottom of his body, the shit that's made him $100 million twice over? How does he not care enough himself to want to fix this?
He's clearly not hurting for money if he's not trying to get that next contract.
Ski mask way. He got that money the ski mask way. Like,
no,
honestly.
He was good. He was good.
He was so good. Yeah, he was always so good.
He was one of the best defenders in the league.
Has he ever been in the playoffs one time in his life, Zach?
Yes, he famously flamed down the playoffs against.
Okay, so he's never been good in the playoffs. I'm not talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about has he ever played well in the playoffs?
Here are his playoff numbers. So his first time in the playoffs, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 48% from the field, 10 games, 70% from the free throw line. Holy shit. He was pretty good.
He played decent in the playoffs his first time out.
Got 2 rounds out of it. Next time, 13.9 points. We've gone down a little bit. 7.1 rebounds, 6 assists. 62% from the field in 12 games, 57% from the line.
How many shots a game is that?
He took 9.7. So he went from 12.5 to 9.7 from first playoffs to second playoffs. And then there was the 2021 campaign where he went 11.9, 7.9, 8.8. Those are good. 62% from the field, 34% from the free throw line. 34 on 6 attempts. Good Lord.
Less than his annual salary from the free throw line.
He's been good, man. He just is not anymore.
No. He's gonna resume his career at the levels he's established prior to being injured.
Three-time All-Star.
4 years ago.
All-NBA in 2020. Two-time All-Defense. Rookie of the Year. Waz, does this do anything for you? 2020 steals champ, had the most steals one season. You know,
Zach.
Yeah,
it was the pandemic year.
Yeah, steals.
This man.
That's his number one attribute.
This man has not made a single identifiable improvement to his game in his whole career, and he got $200 million for his trouble.
Good agent.
Shouts to Rich Paul.
All right, we're gonna go to the Patreon now. Patreon.com/countthedings. We are going to discuss not the Simmons watch. We are going to discuss Zion Williamson is holding the dunk contest hostage.
By the way, before we get out of here, speaking of LeBron,
careful, Wes. Being clutch.
No, this will be pro. This will be pro LeBron.
Oh, okay.
No, it won't be pro.
It's just
funny. Not sure if I'm going to be playing, you know, semi-retirement.
Yeah.
Not even a week later, Windhorst is like, he's seeking a 3-year max extension with the Lakers.
Of course. This is the thing people have to realize, okay?
He's hilarious.
His next goal, it's not playing with this kid. His next goal is owning the Las Vegas LeBrons, okay? That is his next goal.
Money.
Every bit of $50, $60 million a year goes towards that.
Bruh, that is the funniest shit that happened.
All-Star Weekend. Is he a lock for that? Is there any doubt that he will be running?
No, he's not. That's the thing.
He's not a lock. That's why he's doing all the campaigning. Just like Bronny's not a lock for the NBA. That's why he did all that fucking campaigning. Mm-hmm. But now the kid's averaging 6 points.
He had a heart attack, was?
So stop hoping.
No, all right.
If you don't want me to critique your game, do it
for the Zosny edition.
Stop hoping. Nobody told you to keep hoping.
Thanks for subscribing to the Patreon.
Your dad's a billionaire. Stop hoping.
How do I make that the title, even though the fucking episode's over? Goddammit.
Stop hooping.
Stop hooping. Your dad's a billionaire.
Stop hooping. Your dad's a billionaire. Succession.